We thank you for listening to the weekly sermon of First United Methodist Church, Missouri City, Texas. We're a church that's making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. For more information about the church and its ministries, or how we can pray for you, visit us on the web at fumcmc.org. If you desire to make a quick contribution in support of our ministries, you can text to give. Simply text the amount you want to give to 281-369-4870 and follow the instructions. And now, as you listen, we hope that you find this podcast meaningful and transformational in your journey of faith.
I've shared with you before this professor that I had in college named Wyatt Wyatt. He taught literature. I took three classes from him about killing, killing time, killing people, and I can't remember the third. I've gone blank. But anyhow, he was a literature, he loved it. And one of the things he would teach is that any good book had to have a good opening line. Because if it did not have a memorable opening line, the reader might not turn the page. And so what he did is every day when we had class, we would walk in, there on the board would be an opening line from a novel, a well-known novel. And if you could guess what that was by writing down an index card, you would receive extra points. So I'm going to give you a test to see how good you would do in Wyatt Wyatt's class. Ready? First one. Just yell it out. This is a softball gimme. Hey, would you wait? I'll tell you when. You know, you get what you pay for. It was a pleasure to burn. Fahrenheit 451. Did you read it, Justin? Or you just made it up? I don't know. When he was nearly 13, my brother Jim got his arm badly broken at the elbow. To Kill a Mockingbird. Good job. So far, we're doing good. All children except one grow up. Peter Pan's right. We've already done these. There, what? Next. Next. Up, this one. It was a bright, cold day in April. The clocks were striking 13. One of my favorite books, by the way. 1984. Yeah, I mean, someone else said it must be Clockwork Orange, but no, I didn't read that. Did we do the Peter Pan one? Where's Papa going with that axe, said Fern to her mother as Charlotte's Web. You guys, look at you. You just scored huge. Charlotte's Web. Love the book. Opening lines are important. How you begin something is important. And I read a book a few years ago, and when I read the book and I read the first line, I started to wonder what Dr. Wyatt Wyatt would think about that way he started, because this is how the author started. It's not about you. Anybody know the book? Purpose Driven Life. Has sold over 40 million copies, and according to Dr. Wyatt Wyatt, probably shouldn't have sold any, because that is not what I would call a good opening line, because most of us live our lives as if it really is about me, right? And Rick Warren begins with, it's not about you. And that's hard, especially for Americans to comprehend and to accept, because it's not how we live. Now, we're going to look today, because we're closing up this series, Radicalis, where we're looking at getting back to the very root of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. We're trying to strip away all the other stuff that the church and religion has cluttered our faith with and get back to the very basic. And I am making the argument that unless we can learn to live our lives like they're not about us, We will never be radical followers of Jesus. Now, there's a story in the Hebrew Scripture where we learn about someone who had to learn to live his life as if it wasn't his own. He had to learn that it's not about him. The guy is a guy named Moses. Now, he grew up in the Pharaoh's home, and so he was probably raised to believe everything was about him. And then one thing led to another. He runs. He's a fugitive. He finally settles down in a foreign land, and he's watching his father-in-law's sheep, and all of a sudden this bush lights up, begins to talk to him. Moses talks back, and we're going to pick up the story in the fourth chapter, the first verse of the book of Exodus. Now, what's already happened is God has already told Moses what God wants Moses to do. With me? So if you have your Bibles, open them. Chapter 4, book of Exodus. If you don't, look it up on the screen. Only problem with looking up on the screen, you can't underline or highlight. Okay, first verse. But Moses answered, "But suppose they do not believe me or listen to me, but say, 'The Lord did not appear to you.'" Now, if you read the entire story, there are, I counted four times where Moses breaks into an argument with God about how he is not the one, right? That he is, he lists all these reasons why God has chosen the wrong person. He can't speak, he can't lead, no one's going to listen, he's not articulate, whatever. Now, I happen to believe those were excuses covering up the real reason why Moses didn't want to listen to God. See, I think the real reason why is why some of us don't like to. Because Moses was liking his life the way it was. I mean, he was finally married, family, job. Life was good. It was easy, uneventful, no stress. And all of a sudden, this bush, God talks to him and says, "What I want you to do, Moses, I want you to go to the Pharaoh and tell him, let my people go." And what Moses understood is if he did that, the life that he loved would be gone. Because no longer would his life be easy or relaxing or safe. See, I think that's why a lot of us don't really want to listen to what God is calling us to do. Because why? Because we like being comfortable. And if we listen to God, he may make us uncomfortable. Well, I'm here to tell you that if you claim to be a follower of God in any way, and your life is easy, safe, comfortable, guess what? You're not following God. Now, how I know that? I have challenged people for the last 10 years to find me one person in Scripture who followed God and had it safe, easy, and comfortable. If you find one, then you are more than welcome to tell me, "Hey, I found it, and my life, I'm going to stay just like I am." Okay? But to be a radical follower, you sometimes got to get uncomfortable. We'll move on. Verse 2. The Lord said to Moses, "What is that in your hand?" Now, that is a great question, except it makes no sense. I mean, this is God. God knew what was in Moses' hand. And I used to laugh about that. I said, "Well, why would God ask Moses what's in?" He's God. He knows, right? And then it hit me. That question wasn't for God. It was more to make Moses answer. And what Moses answered was a staff. Now, here's what you have to understand about a staff. This is a staff. It's my staff. Now, if I was a shepherd, I would have made this staff myself. And I would have made it out of wood that would last a lifetime. In fact, when a shepherd would make his staff, he would use a certain wood, and then they would put a substance over it to make sure that it lasted a lifetime, because this was more than a stick. It was more than a walking stick. You know, the shepherd would use it to prod his sheep or maybe to protect his sheep, and he might use it to go up mountains and climb hills to help steady him, but that wasn't the purpose of this staff. This staff was the most important thing a shepherd owned, because for the shepherd, this was his life. See, what they did, they didn't have journals back then, but what they did is a shepherd would make notches in the staff to signify, to remember certain important dates in their life. For example, I would have one right about there, December 19th, 1994, whatever, Connor was born. February 21st, Zach was born. October 24th, Jill and I were married. December 1st, 2013, my first Sunday to stand in this church. And those would be marks of major events, both positive and negative. And the shepherd could look at his staff and remember his entire life. So this literally was his life. In fact, they didn't go anywhere without it. Remember when David went to fight Goliath, right? David was a what? Shepherd. And when Goliath saw him, what did Goliath do? Goliath laughed at him. And Goliath said, "What are you thinking? You're coming at me with a stick and stones?" The staff, the stick, his life. So here is Moses. And God says to him, there's the next thing. What is that? A staff. And then God said, throw it on the ground. So he threw the staff on the ground, and it became a snake. And Moses drew back from it. Then the Lord said to Moses, reach out your hand and seize it by the tail. So he reached out his hand, grasped it, and became a staff in his hand. Now, what you got to understand is what God is trying to say to Moses, I think, is take your life, that which is most important to you, that which you find your trust in, and throw it down. Let it go. And when Moses did, it became alive, right? It became a snake. And then as soon as Moses grabbed it and picked it up again, it became dead. So I think what God is telling Moses, when you throw your life down for me, when you learn to trust me, when you make it about me and not about you, you will be alive. And I will be able to do wonderful things through you. But when you try to pick your life back up and make it about you, you will lose the abundant life. I mean, that's what God is saying. Now, if you flip over to verse 20, look what you have. Want to put it up? I missed this like the first 100 times I read it. So Moses took his wife and his sons, put them on a donkey, went back to the land of Egypt, and Moses carried the staff of God in his hand. I highlighted it for you. I didn't find it for a while. All of a sudden, this is no longer Moses' staff. Now the writer of Exodus, every time he mentions it, it is now the staff of God. It was that staff that Moses used to part the Red Sea. It was that staff that Moses used to touch the Nile and turn it into blood. It was that staff that Moses used to call plagues upon the Pharaoh and his people. It was that staff that Moses used to hit a rock so that water would flow from it. It was no longer his. It belonged to God. When he threw down his staff, when he threw down his life, when he said to God, I surrender to you. I put my trust in you. It's about you. God was able to do amazing things. And Moses' life belonged to God. And Moses became a radical follower of God. And that's what this whole thing is about. It's about having a church full of people who are radical about wanting to follow Jesus, who are willing to accept the grace that God gives them and then live in gratitude for all that God has blessed them with, and then give and then love the people who are most unlovable, and then finally to trust Him enough to where they say, it's not about me, it's about you, God. I trust you with everything that I have, everything that I am, everything I will ever be. This morning, as we wrap up this series, I'm going to ask you what I think is the most important question you're going to be asked. I think it makes all the difference in the world. What's that in your hand? What is it that you trust the most? And what is it that you're holding on to so tightly that God says to you, throw it down. Throw it down. Surrender and trust me. See, in a little while, you're going to get invited to a table. And here's the thing. It is not possible to receive the Eucharist if you're holding on to something so tightly that you come up with clenched fists. See, we are called to come up with open hands, to receive the gift that God is giving you. And so whatever it is you're holding tightly to, throw it down. What's that in your hand? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Would you stand and join hands as we prepare to go out into the world today? May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace, both now and forevermore. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, may you leave here today and go in the grace and the peace and the hope of Jesus Christ. May you remember, may you know, and may you never forget. There's nothing you could ever do that would cause God to love you any less. Because when God looks at us, He sees into our open hearts. And He knows. And He loves. And I think if you left here today, going out as welcoming into the world, is God's grace that pours out on us. God, I know it'd be a great week. Amen.